Welcome to the Nordic Mythology Podcast. I'm Daniel Farrand, owner of the company of Horns of Odin. As always, before we get into the show, I do have to do a little bit of housekeeping, which is to promote our Patreon. Obviously, over there at the basic tier is £3 a month, which works out about 10p a day, and you get two bonus episodes a month at that level, which one is the Q&A that we do with every single guest after the main show, and you also get the story time that we do with Jonas Lorentzen. And the next tier up from that, we've got two completely new, exciting bonus shows. One that we're going to be doing today with today's guest, which is a creator episode. Basically, we get somebody from the Viking crafts world, and we're going to sit down and have a chat about their work, their inspirations, how they do it. They're going to demonstrate a little bit of their skill. A lot of people have been excited about that. And we've also just added another new show. We probably have the most stacked Patreon out there, I'm sure, because I'm doing a bonus show pretty much every time I record. And the other new show is one with Claire Moulet. So people who've listened to the show have heard the episodes with Claire before. And basically, it's like a condensed version of story time. Claire brings a small little snippet. So we take out all the fluff in the sagas, find small little snippets that she thinks are funny and worthwhile of the show, and we do a short bonus episode. I say a short, the last one was probably about an hour long, but we do a little bonus episode and it's a lot of fun. There's people in the chat saying now, you know, how funny it was. It was a lot of fun. It was what I expected. You know, Claire's a Yorkshire lassie, and yeah, we got on really well. It was a lot of fun. So if you do want to listen to that, obviously just pop over to Patreon. I'm waffling on way too long now for a little Patreon introduction. So yeah, if you can, it's just Patreon.com/ Nordic Mythology Podcast. It is how we keep the lights on. So yeah, let's get into today's show. Today's guest is, you know, a personal friend of mine. It is Tricky. He goes by the moniker Eldulf on Instagram. He's, I guess you're a bone carver, horn carver.
Mostly now, yeah, bone and horn carver.
You make a few patches.
Yeah, I started off with embroidery.
Yeah.
As those threads, and accidentally became a bone and horn carver as it goes.
Yeah. I mean, you sent me some saucy patches over the years. Every time I order some patches from you, I get some in there that I'm not expecting. they never fail to make me laugh.
Yeah, I think we can't talk about some of
this. Yeah, there's some we've
been threatened about legal action on at least one of them, so we probably should keep them quiet.
Yeah, there is certainly one we can, but the others tend to be like the cliche Viking phrases. Well, I think I can't remember what the last you sent me one about beards. It's like a sexual thing about beards.
It's not a beard; it's a saddle.
It was something like that. Yeah, it was something like that. I'm like, oh, you can't send me that. No, I've been looking forward to this. I think this is the episode out of all I've always been terrified to do.
I knew that you was, because you invited me so long ago, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And I was like, well, I'm not gonna mention it again because I'm so fucking nervous about doing it.
Yeah.
But I knew that you were like, oh man, what might he say?
That is exactly it. So obviously I've wanted to do it. I mentioned it from the start. I've wanted to do something, wanted to do a show. But yeah, I was always like, what is he going to say? Because you can be a polarizing figure at times.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a wild card. I would say now I'm well known for speaking out and calling out people on their bullshit as well. So I suppose I've got a bit of a reputation as a troublemaker.
Yeah, well, a rightful troublemaker, you know. You're not going to stand for any injustices, and but I think is that you don't mince your words when you do call people out on the bullshit.
Yeah, I'm quick to fight on them sort of battles. I don't like to see bullying online. I don't like people that are being uninclusive. I think in this day and age, that stuff should be a thing of the past. And when you see it in this community, especially, I mean, you know, I've seen some of the comments that you get when you use people of color for models, for example, and there is a certain dark corner of Norse paganism that is just rife with neo-Nazis. And I don't think it's right to like sweep it under the rug. I think we should be talking about the fact that there are definitely not all of us, not even a majority, but there is a minority of assholes that give heathenry a bad name. Mm-hmm. And
sure.
so we should be calling that shit out and sort of like reclaiming things as and when we see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you ever, I don't think I've ever asked you this. Do you ever get it or get lumped into that category, like visually, as soon as people see you, because obviously you've got like your face tattooed, you make Milners, I guess, for a living, but also you're in a bike gang. So I assume that kind of all lumps together and people on a surface would go, oh yeah, he's definitely going to be one of them.
Oh yeah, I think 100% people, a lot of people see just runic face tattoos and they're like, oh yeah, it must be Aryan Brotherhood. It's like, and it's frustrating that, especially more so in America than the UK, I think, that people see Thor's hammers now and the first question is he a racist? Well, fucking hell, no, definitely not. But we shouldn't be looking at people's jewelry and assuming that about them anyway.
It is wild. I've had people, because obviously we sell your stuff on the website, and I've had people message about the Milners and go, you know, I'm in America. I'd like to buy this, but I'm a little worried about people's thoughts. And it's so disappointing. Obviously, it's disappointing from like a business aspect, but also just as a community-based thing that outsiders are now starting to associate what is a very probably the biggest and most sacred symbol when it comes to Norse paganism, as you know, as a far right symbol.
And it's so ridiculous because you think like Thor is the protector of the people. He's not the protector of the white people. He's the protector of all the people. The same as Odin is the all father. He's not the white father. There's the racism aspect is just so ridiculous. The Thor's hammer is a symbol of strength and protection, and that doesn't discriminate anyone. So to try and use that as the flag for neo-Nazi groups, just it blows my mind that people can even believe it for a second, but here we are, and there are still quite a lot of Norse symbols being put onto like hate watch lists. And it's like, fucking hell, is this what we've got to deal with? That you have to, in this day and age, you have to prove that you're not a racist. How am I supposed to do that?
It does feel like that. But anyway, let's get back to you. Let's outline what you make, maybe, and then because we're going to save the bulk of talking about your craft for that bonus show that's going to come after. So if you do want to hear all about that, and I'm going to ask you about the time you made Milners from a human skull. So if people want to hear
Oh, yeah.
about, yeah, so if people want to hear about that and that story, unfortunately, you're going to have to get the Patreon episode, which is coming after, because we're going to talk about you and your own personal sort of pagan journey. But yeah, first, just let people know what you make and the kind of crafts you do.
So yes, we've mentioned I do embroidery, I do patches, mostly pagan symbols. I make pendants out of horn and bone and various different hardwoods. I like to tend to stick with natural materials as much as I can. You've already mentioned I've made them out of human skull, I've made them out of mammoth tooth, mammoth ivory, I've made them out of quite a wide range of materials now. And I guess that's what I'm best known for at the moment is the Mjolnir pendants that I make. They're quite distinctive.
As soon as you see one, you know they're yours. It's the shape is obviously very much, even though it's such a simple shape, you kind of straight away just go, oh yeah, that's the trickiest pendant. The amount of
Yeah,
times I've been wearing one, people have said, is that trickiest pendant? I've got it on now. I've got mine on now. It's just underneath the
yeah,
thing.
I wear one. I do everything with mine that I tell people not to. I wear it nonstop overnight. I wear it in the shower. I do everything that you really shouldn't do if you want them to last longer. But I mean, I've got to road test them, haven't I? I've got to push them to their limits so that I know for myself. But yeah, I never take mine off.
No, neither do I. I literally wear mine in the shower. I'd been wearing mine in the shower for like a year before I asked you, like, can I wear this in the shower? And you're like, absolutely not, don't. And I was like, oh.
Definitely pyrographed bone with detergents and water. Definitely not. But
But
people still do. I mean, I've done it myself loads of times. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I think, oh, I can't be bothered to take it off and put it on again. I just let it wear naturally and gather its own little bit of character on the journey, you
Yeah, that's it. And then you can just buy another one. Well, you'd have to buy another one.
know.
Other people can buy another one. But yeah, so you make really cool, mainly Milner pendants. So yeah, we're going to talk a little later about how you do it, your techniques, your inspirations. I definitely want to hear more about the human skull because that's always fascinated me. So yeah, we'll get into that. But I want to talk about your journey from living in the UK with a normal life, like quote unquote typical
Normal.
Yeah,
Yes.
quote unquote, that not that very much normal, I assume, like 9 to 5 type role to move in to Spain, building. Is it an eco house? I've been describing it as an eco house. I don't know if
Yeah, it is
that's
an eco house. Yeah,
okay.
it's timber frame, straw bale walls, earth render on the inside, lime on the outside, green roof. It takes care of all its own energy and waste needs. It's completely off grids. Proper eco house, like
Yeah.
no gimmicks.
So you let obviously you left the job, the I guess family over here, took your kids, and did you take your in-laws with you?
Yes, yeah.
And then went and built this, bought a little bit of land in Spain and built this house, and obviously now closer to nature. And it's, as much as this episode isn't going to be scholarly like we've been doing a lot recently, I think it's something that will resonate with so many people and a journey that so many people would love. There'll be so many people listening to this going, oh, fuck me, I wish I could do that. And you're going to tell them they can.
Well, you can, yeah. And for once, I would actually blame it all on Facebook. It's one of the few things that I would say as good has come from it.
Oh, really?
Because I was working, as I was in a 9 to 5 sales job at a desk, high pressure, always on the phone, just hated, absolutely hated every single day of my life. And I saw a post on Facebook saying that there was villages in Spain being sold for like 200K. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. Well, I don't have 200K, but I don't need a whole village either. So maybe I could find something. And me and Carly said, like, well, we'll sort out a 5-year plan to try and squirrel away as much as we can and come and buy something out here in Spain. Because we'd both lived over here and we actually met over here when we were teenagers. And we knew that we wanted to come back to Spain. So we started having a look, and there was a few properties that came up that we were like, oh man, this we could actually do something like this. It's not like a pipe dream. This could really happen. And so we got the house valued, and because we'd done a bit of improvements on it was worth more than what we thought it was, and turned our 5-year plan into like a 1-year plan. And we like rushed, sold the house, moved over here, had like a roller coaster of problems once we got here. And then of course we had Brexit and COVID and all the rest of it. And there was just so many delays, but it eventually ended up that we sold our very like non-glamorous mid-terraced house in Southend and bought a 5-acre almond orchard over here with the permissions to build the eco house that we'd dreamed up. And we got a specialist architect in that's built with natural materials before and is her specialism. And yeah, by the time it all worked out that we'd got the plans, we'd run out of money. And so we'd got everything for the dream, like ready to go. And through our own naivety and a couple of hiccups along the way, yeah, we'd just gone bust. And so then we were like every month saving up money, building the house a bit more, saving up some more money, building the house a bit more. And you've actually been out and seen the house when it was half finished. So you
It's
know the scale of the project. And yeah, 2 weeks ago, I finally moved in after 2 years of building it with my own hands, not just like sitting back and letting someone else build it, doing everything. And I'm not a builder, but I've just had to learn on the job.
It is fascinating. When I came out and I said it to you before, obviously, we've been talking for the whole journey. We've been chatting. You've been sending pictures and showing updates. So it's almost coming along on the journey with you. And when you finally moved in, there is that sense of pride. It's like, oh fuck yeah, he's finally done it. He's in there. That has to be. What was that like? The first night in there.
Like I didn't believe it, even for like the first week. I still kept waking up and thinking, "Now I'm on holiday, man. This can't be my life now. If I actually get to live here after all this time." But the kids love it, and we love it, and we can live a much closer to the land and natural cycles life now, and that's what it was all about in the first place.
Was that a big part of your life before you moved? The whole kind of like pagan side when you had like your 9 to 5. 'Cause obviously I didn't know
Oh
you
yeah,
then.
I've always been pagan. I like became openly pagan at 11 years old, and by the time I was 18, I had strangely ended up becoming the administrator for a site called Pagan Central, which was like a forum for all the pagans in the Midlands. And me and
Wow.
Carly used to go around to pagan moots, and so we'd meet all kinds of colourful characters at the moots back in the day on the Birmingham pagan moot circuit. Yeah, and we were involved in quite a lot of different groups and group rituals and that sort of thing. Yeah,
So
it was quite exciting times actually before we moved over.
you were pagan before pagan was popular.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I
I
don't even know if I would say that pagan is popular at the moment. I think people
feel
still look
like
at you if you're a lunatic when you're saying, "No, yeah, I'm pagan." Oh, what god do you believe in? Well, fucking all of them, mate. I don't believe in one god. I believe multiple gods.
So I mean, I don't know how much you want to talk about your personal beliefs. Some people want to share, some people don't. But like, what would you, or what do you believe? Because obviously paganism covers such an umbrella. It can.
Oh, it does, yeah. Because I mean, you've got pagans that you can be still a Christian and a pagan, and there's so many different flavors. Like a Satanist is still a pagan, even though the majority of pagans don't believe that Satan or anything in the Bible existed. So, but you still end up sitting on the opposite side of the room in the pagan federation. You're all pagans, and that's why I always say, like, if you ask three pagans, you'll get nine opinions. And that's why it's so difficult to have pagan communities, because we don't fucking agree on anything. We have so little in common, it's untrue.
It's you've got obviously your three Abrahamic faiths, and then I guess considering to them that everything else is pagan, but obviously then you have like Buddhism, see all that
I mean,
sort
you
of stuff,
think like
but
Aleister Crowley was a pagan,
yeah.
and he was more interested in summoning demons and glorifying horrific behavior. And then you've got people that are sort of following on from a lot of his teachings with the Wiccans, and like they're like polar opposites in the way they believe things, but they're still both pagan.
I feel like pagan is just the other category, you know, when you get like a little form.
Just ticking the other
Just
box,
yeah, it's
though.
just other. It's just like everything that doesn't fit into these popular ones, you're all just put into this box. And it can just be, it's such a broad term that it is almost impossible to for everyone to get on because everyone believes such different things, and there isn't like a dogma or a text or something to
And I mean,
follow.
how when somebody says, "What is your religion?" How could you possibly reply with a one-word answer? Like, to know my beliefs would take us hours of sitting here talking backwards and forwards about the intricacies and the nuances of it. I think the pigeonholes of wanting someone to, even if you were to say, "I'm a Christian," there's so many different flavors of Christians that don't agree with each other. Like, it doesn't matter what word you use, it matters what the individual believes. And also what they actually practice in their life, because there's a lot of armchair pagans that want to tell you the black and white facts of everything, but aren't actually doing any paganism in their day-to-day life.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to get to, and what you do and how you practice, because obviously you're kind of in this position. Yeah, so how do you put it into everyday life?
I believe what Nikola Tesla believed. I believe that everything is energy, frequency, vibration. I believe that there is a source energy that is not only is it us, it connects everything. Everything exists from the grace of source energy. But I believe that it's so vast in scope that the human mind couldn't possibly comprehend, not even a fraction of it. And the only way that we can hope to interact or even to just understand it in any way at all is for us to personify it in the way that we do with the gods. And they give us handy archetypes that we can take this. I mean, is it ancient Greek where they believe that if you were to see the true essence of a god in their true form, that you would just burst into flames?
I
And
think so, yeah.
I think that that's probably quite valid. I think that if ever a universal source energy tried to fill you with the fullness of what it was, then yeah, I think there's a good chance you would just be spontaneously combusted. And so, in order for us to understand these sort of energies and cycles, we've come up with the myths and legends and the gods to give us an understanding of aspects of source energy that otherwise we just wouldn't be able to comprehend. I sort of see it as like a disco ball. So let's say, if we were to take the Norse gods, each mirror on the disco ball is a separate facet of a god and its purpose, but still all just the same source energy. And the same as how like masculine and feminine, good and bad, it's all just the yin and yang of the same ball of energy. Everything is connected, and that I think is the one of the few aspects that does bring pagans together, is that the majority of us believe that everything has its own spirit or its own energy, and therefore with us all being connected by that source energy, there's no reason that we can't sort of push the scales in our favor a little bit here and there.
Yeah, I think it's something that for the most part people in everyday life that are in the urban concrete jungles, just you completely forget this feeling of connectedness. You just lose it, and we're closer than ever in history. You have more ability to speak to anybody through your phone. We're this huge global community, but we're so disconnected from nature and each other. I think we just
it's
don't.
frustrating that we've all got a little portal in our hand that we can connect to the whole world, and the majority of us spend our time like this, and there's people all around you that you could be connecting with instead of looking at a flickering screen in your palm.
Yeah, I
it's frustrating to have that technology that we could connect to everyone, and so many people now feel disconnected more than ever.
Yeah, it's I don't know what the solution is. I was driving home, I think it was yesterday, and there was a girl walking her two dogs down the road, just like on her phone, paying no attention. One of the dogs just like nipped out into the road. Thankfully, it was on the lead, but I just nipped out into the road. And it's just like, I just wanted to stop and be like, just put your fucking phone down and pay attention to what you're doing and pay attention to the dog. Because obviously, if the car was coming the other direction, could have hit the dog. And it's just like, it's just this, but I'm bad for it. You know, I'll spend time at just like sit looking at my phone, ignoring everything around me.
Oh, same. And I think it's really difficult, especially if you don't want to be on your phone all the time. But me and you are in the same boat, that our businesses wouldn't run if we just threw our phone in the lake and never looked at social media again. Then
Yeah.
that would, in the long run, mean that the bills don't get paid and the fantasy just shatters around you. Then, like we've got to sort of have one foot in society and one out.
Yeah, I guess that has to be a challenge for you. I know it certainly is for me. Like, you want to this back to nature. You want to be away from the phone. Because I know I want to spend time with my phone, but then I know when I go back to it, I'm going to have a pile of emails or messages from the live chat on the website, or worrying that something's gone wrong, or you have to do a post to fucking tickle the balls of the Instagram algorithm so you can get so your stuff gets looked at. Because if you stop posting for a week, it takes you 6 months of posting every single day to then try and get back to where you were before. And so it's impossible.
It's the most anti-social social media that there ever has been. And I find the same. If I spend a day off my phone, enjoying life, being present, it makes a backlog when I do get back to my phone, and you're like, oh man.
And you know, you see it with people as well, the anxiety they get from being away from their phone. Like, I enjoy just putting my phone down, and especially, you know, now in the situation I'm in, where I'm you know, on my own for the first time in my life, where I've got nobody kind of nobody expecting me to be anywhere. I'm not responsible to anyone, so I can literally just, other than the business, I can put my phone down and I can just leave it, and I don't have to like think, oh, somebody might be trying to contact me, and I'll just go back to it 3 hours later. But even then, you get a little bit of anxiety. It's like, oh, but what have I missed? And there are people much worse than me that can't, they're scared to leave their phones for 5 minutes, 15 minutes, because it's like, oh, well, what if this horrible event happens, or something happens to like my family, and I'm going to miss it because I wasn't looking at my phone? And it's just this cycle.
What if you miss out on your entire life because you've spent it waiting for the next notification to come in? Like, it's a far worse fate.
Yeah, it is. And I can only see it getting worse and worse. I don't know what the solution is.
Human connection is the solution, isn't it? Without a device as a middleman. And it's difficult because I, for example, live in the middle of nowhere. There are not very many people like within my social circle that live nearby. That's one of the things I moved to the middle of nowhere was so that there'd be no people, and now I'm like, oh fuck, there are no people.
How
It
is
makes
that?
having a social life in person difficult.
How have you found? Because I always think I would love to move to the middle of nowhere, but then I also have this fear, like, oh, but I quite like seeing my friends. I quite like having people around me. So it's almost like, I would love to be anywhere, like just like you are, in the middle of nowhere on my own. But then it's like, well, then now, what about seeing people?
It's funny because like when we used to go on holiday, we'd want to go to the middle of nowhere, and now we live in the middle of nowhere. And anytime we go on holiday, we seem to organise to go to a city and we explore the city and enjoy the convenience of the city as like a novelty. But yeah, man, it would be dangerous if I lived in a city and I could just get anything I wanted delivered by a courier within the hour. It's insane.
Oh, you can't do that where you are now.
If I put Just Eat on my phone, it just laughs at me. I can't have a takeaway delivered there. There isn't one within driving distance that would deliver to
No. But that's, that's good because it forces you. You have to cook your own food. You have to make sure you think ahead because I'm terrible for it. Because I know there's a shop at the end of the road. I'm just like, oh, I don't ha I can forget to get things because I know that shop's going to be open till 11 o'clock at night. I can just go and get it. There's not much forward thinking. Whereas, our parents' generation and certainly before that, things would have had to have been remembered because you were going to a shop once probably every week. And it's like, I have to get all these things or I'm doing without. And if they don't have it, then I'm just going to have to improvise, use something else. I'm not just going to be able to order it online and have it there.
Well, and the fact that they couldn't store things, it was only very recently that we've had refrigerators and freezers. They'd have had a slab of marble that could keep things cold for a day or two at most, so that they wouldn't be going out once a week to get all their stores unless a lot of it was preserved, and their diet would be wildly different to ours. And this is the thing as well, like a lot of people, and throwing no shade here, a lot of people that get into paganism and especially Norse paganism go down the road of wanting to reconstruct the past, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's fucking tons of fun. I wish I had time to do that as well. But for me, it's not about replicating the way our ancestors lived because that's not what they were doing. They wanted the best of everything. If there was a new technology for boats, they fucking had it. They found a new way to forge their swords, they did it. They didn't just go, oh, well, our grandfathers just used the bronze axe, so we'll stick with that. Did they? Fuck. They wanted the best that technology could give them. And I do think that we should be the same, but in a way that honors the way our ancestors lived, which for me looks like being more connected, spending more time outside, paying attention to the natural patterns, the cycles and seasons. I know if you want to be a pagan, one of the best things you can ever do is get a dog because they will force you to be outside and you will pay attention to those changes in nature that you wouldn't see if you were still inside your concrete box.
Unless you're a shitty dog owner, because there are unfortunately some of those out there. But
But then you
yeah,
don't deserve a dog, so just
no,
pack it in.
we don't deserve dogs anyway. They're the best, aren't they? Obviously everybody knows that I've got.
Well, we deserve the dogs. I don't know if the dogs deserve us. I think
Well,
that they definitely put up with us.
yeah. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it gets you out there. I've been so many different places because of rock. I'm like, well, he needs to go out for a walk. Let's just go and explore. Let's see what happens. But yeah, I think it's a great point because it. I'm trying to think how to put this because I think for most people they take a fascination in the Viking Age and that's what gets them into sort of Norse paganism and this connectedness to earth and nature. But in reality, it's just that that's kind of probably the most popular gateway into it, but that's how everybody was living back then and before that. People were just connected to Earth, and for the most part, people understood that you have to have a certain level of control. You can't over farm everything because you're going to be without. You have to like take a little bit and let it replenish, and that was just how everybody lived. So we need to take that aspect or those aspects and then bring that into the 21st century and put that into our lives. And like you say, you don't have to live exactly how they lived. You can still have your phone, you can still have the modern comforts, but just be a little bit more mindful in some of the other areas.
And if you want to be a hardcore traditional reconstructionist, then yeah, then excellent. That's fine. But that is your choice. And I don't think that anyone has the right to gatekeep or throw shade at the way another person practices their faith. And of course, the way that we do things now is not going to be the same as the way they did things back then. For a lot of the part, we don't know how they did things back then. There is not a lot of reliable record from unbiased sources. So at the end of it, you really just have to do what feels right for you and what works for you. I mean, if you want to pray to fertility gods, it doesn't necessarily mean that you want to grow a field of corn, and nor does it have to mean that you want to have children either. I've had people before when I was making fertility charms, they were saying, "Oh, but I am infertile. I can't have children, or I don't want children. So this offends me." I'm like, well, what about a fertile mind? What about a fertile bank account? Fertility comes in many, many forms. What about just the fertility of the land that you own? You don't want it to see it growing more green trees and flowers and stuff. Like fertility, and that's a very small aspect of magic that you could be working on, in itself is a massive rabbit hole to go down.
You touched on it a little bit there. There is a thing with like this community of there are just so many people who complain about everything.
I think
Obviously,
that's, I don't know if it's this community. I think it's just all communities
bro, yeah,
in this modern age, is that
probably right.
there's a lot of more fragile people because life has afforded them to be fragile because they have nothing else to complain about. I always think, well, it must be great to have so much time on your hands that you can go around complaining about this shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it does feel, I mean, you only have to dip into any Facebook post in any of the groups surrounding this kind of stuff, and you just the toxicity that you find
Oh, you're
in
not a Viking. That
the
symbol isn't Viking.
It's
Really? What does
it's
it matter to you? If somebody wants to call themselves a Viking, who fucking cares? Yes, we know that it was a profession. Yes, we know, we know. Yeah, we know that half the Icelandic slaves don't even come from Iceland and aren't Viking. We don't care. We just fucking like it.
Yeah, it's just cool. It is
Down
cool.
with gatekeepers, man. There's no place for them. Telling people what they can and can't believe and can and can't do with their own body, their own beliefs, their own life. Man, get fucked.
Yeah, I agree. The only time I get ever kind of like get involved in stuff like that, which I do, is usually when like people are historically wrong. Like when they're trying to say something that that we know is like a historical fact and it's just completely wrong, or it's changed to like suit something else. Like, no, that's not how it was. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do, but you can't just pretend this bit of history isn't what it is, because that's we know that. You obviously do whatever you want aside from that, but don't try and portray something to not be what it is. That's what drives me mad.
Yeah.
But
And there's
there's
some people that have made it like their mission that that's all they do. That it's literally all they do all day long is telling everyone else what they can't do. And they're not doing anything productive themselves, only gatekeeping. Naming no names.
It does. It becomes an identity, doesn't it? And I think you're right. It is in all different walks of life. It's not just in this. Because you see people online, and it's just like they're so head up. And I've started to notice it a lot more now. A lot of like the meme pages you follow on Instagram or like anything like that, they just post really stuff that's just meant to trigger and meant to
Yeah,
like,
just pure clickbait. They just want people rage commenting.
absolutely. I saw one the other day about how a British general said that we need to be worried on maybe like, it's like it was something about like people might start getting called up against Russia, or it was something along those lines. He said this in fucking 2022. In like June 2022, but it gets pulled out in January 2024 to just because they've probably got nothing else to post, and they know that people are just going to get really mad and comment and be like, and you read the comments and it's just the absolute vicious, just toxic. And it's like, well, people just don't get it. It's just.
And that like sort of cancel culture of, he said this 2 years ago. But you're not under any obligation to be the same person that you were 5 minutes ago. People change their mind, people change their attitude, people change their lifestyle. I'm not the same person that I was 7 years ago when I left the UK. And anything I did or said then wouldn't reflect how I feel now. There's loads of things that I've either deepened my understanding of or completely changed the way I think of things like that. And so I think it's insane when people want to drag out an old quote like that just to try and light a fire and get some engagement. It's just bullshit.
That the quote was actually used in a sense of they didn't put the date on it. They posted it as if he'd said it yesterday. So as if he was saying right now people need to be worried about Russia and possibly being called up to the army. So basically it was just being reused, this quote, out
Just
of
fear mongering.
yeah, it was literally that. It was literally just to get people annoyed and go and to comment and to worry. And it's just you see it more and more. And I don't know if it seems to be more prevalent since COVID, but it just seems to be this idea of just people being scared. Look at your eyes. I saw that little smile on your face, and I'm like, fuck, this is the moment.
This is not the topic we want to be on today. The Norse
No.
mythology podcast shouldn't record Tricky's views on COVID, or we'll be here all night.
That's true. Okay, you said you're a little bit then about how your views will have changed since you moved, and I'm interested to kind of know about how you've changed throughout this journey, because you certainly aren't going to be the same person who left the UK
No,
going
because when
through.
I first came out here, I thought it'd be dead easy and I'd get it done
Did
super
you?
quick, and all my illusions have been shattered real fast about that.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, how do you feel like it's developed you as a person, and I guess your religion and how and what you believe and how you practice? Because it is a it's building your own house, obviously leaving the country, building your own house. It's a life-changing experience, changing your lifestyle, being closer
Well, it's a massive jump going from being a 9 to 5 sales job city boy to now I live in the mountains on a homestead that not just like a homestead we've bought. So there's a working homestead that we're going to just get the keys, walk in, and everything's going to be great. It was just an orchard. There was only trees, it's just a field with trees in that we built our house in. So we have to design and lay out everything ourselves. And, you know, as with any project, some things work really well and some things don't work well at all. And it's just a case of adapting things and trying to tailor it to suit your life right now rather than the fairy tale dream in your head life, which doesn't actually exist and will never exist unless today you start to put the work in to become that person.
And by the time you get there, you're going to be a different person anyway.
Yeah.
Because.
And loads of the things that I thought, all right, so this is what I want to do with the land. I'll have this there and that there, and I'm going to do this. And as I was moving house a couple of weeks ago, I was going through all of like the old paperwork and different designs and sketches I'd drawn on paper. And I looked at some of them and I was like, what was I smoking when I drew this up? This just won't work. It's a terrible idea. It's just, but the thing is, if you want to have any good ideas, you've got to wade through some really fucking bad ones along the way. You can't every single idea you have be a good idea.
Yeah, I've definitely had some shit ideas in my time. You should see some of the t-shirt designs that I've put together and like send my friends. I'm like, what do you think of this? And they're just like, nah, that's fucking, that is absolutely awful. But
Well,
yeah.
that's one thing that is good about social media, though. I mean, we just slagged it off quite a bit, but some of my closest friends, yourself included, we've met online and
Yeah.
been through a lot. I mean, a couple of the groups that we share,
We had a common enemy at the
them
time,
guys,
that's
like,
why.
we have like open-hearted told each other everything, not just the highlight reel. Like we've been together through some of the highest highs and, as you know, some of the lowest fucking lows. And having guys that will be there for you genuinely, raw, no bullshit, no ego. We don't make any pretense. We fucking tell each other how we feel through it all. And I think that genuine connection really is praiseworthy. But it's, I think it's few and far between. I mean, I interact with thousands of people online, and
Yeah.
only a handful of them are diamonds like that are like inner circle friends.
Yeah, it is. We have a little group. The It's now called the King's Group, but it used to be called something else that we probably can't
It's
mention.
probably that's redacted what it used to be called.
Yeah, but we all met because we all, want for a better term, had a common enemy at the time. We were all suffering under the boot of someone. It was just all kind of been attacked by not a very nice person, and we all just kind of we met through that, but we've just come. That's long gone, and we've just
Oh,
continued
yeah, and the way
to
it brought us together,
be.
and now, still now, years down the line, we're still like fucking just heart open, sharing our experiences in there. It's a proper men's circle, and that's one of the things when you say, oh, I don't know what the problem is, I don't know what the solution is. That is it. That is people just being genuine, because nobody fucking cares about the polished Instagram mirage anymore. It's like we're done with that. It's bullshit. No one wants to see the massively photoshopped and edited images. We just want real shit. I want to see real humans doing real shit. I don't want to see fantasy bullshit that AI has cooked up. I want to see real people failing over and over and over again and getting themselves back up and fucking carrying on with determination. I want to see the people that have got freaky talents that no one would even think about, and they're super good at it. I don't want to see an AI that can polish me out a perfect photo in 20 seconds. I want to see someone screaming their heart out at the painting that they fucking hate.
Yeah, that is it is, and the thing is there's people miss so many of these opportunities in real life, as we said earlier, because they're on the phone and not out there kind of living and speaking to people and meeting and just having conversations, which I think a lot of people don't have. And Demery said in the chat, like, vulnerability.
Exactly.
We've all taught ourselves to just be, I don't know, it so many people lack social skills in person. Like, I love meeting new people. I love talking to new people. When I'm out and about, I'll just chat to random people. If we're walking, if I'm out walking Rocco or wherever, I will have conversations with people. But you can tell sometimes people just like, what is, I don't know if it's a Yorkshire thing, but they're like, what the fuck is this? Why are you talking to me? It's like, come on, man, we're just having a little chat. But people are just, yeah, it's a wild world we're in, and I don't know where we go, because they say the AI thing is crazy. We just, you say you want real, we're going to get to the point where you don't even know what real even is.
That's it, isn't it? That's the danger, is that it's getting to the point where sooner or later someone's going to fucking teach that AI how to do teeth and hands, and then we're not going to be able to tell what's AI and what's not.
I like, I think I mentioned this before. Like the new, I think it's the new Google phone. Their advert is, showing how good their like AI camera software is, and you can like take like it'll take like 10 photos in a line, and obviously if people move during the photo, you can like pick which heads you want from each photo and like put them into one photo. So obviously you're manipulating from the 10 that it takes, because it's like, oh, well, some people's like, oh, I'm smiling on this one, I blinked on this one. You can pick the different heads and put them into one photo, or you can like circle things like a lasso eraser, where you just like lasso around something you want to just remove, and the AI like fills it in. If it, especially if it's like concrete, it'll just fill it in. And it's like, I like it's fucking cool. It's really cool. But also, it's like, well, at what point do we get to where we don't know what's real anymore?
It's all just false as well, though, isn't it? Like, I want to see the picture where your kid's pulling a goofy face in the background that you hate. I want to see the one where you blinked or you sneezed and you look stupid. Those are the ones that you want to pull out their photo album and laugh at. If every single photo shows every single person completely polished and airbrushed, then there's no point seeing any of the photos, is there? Because it's unrealistic, and all it is doing is projecting more unrealistic standards onto the kids growing up in this environment.
I've made some of your photos look fucking polished, you handsome bastard. The one we posted on Instagram the other day, you were getting so much love for your eyes. Like, so are you photoshopping them? Or
No,
are they all natural? And it
it's
was full blue seal. Just yeah, you got yeah,
all
you must have been practicing. I don't think we've ever posted a guest and got so much. The first comment was a lady commented like, like the little water droplet sign, but we all know what it is. Like in a, oh no, it was like a,
natural.
no, it was the hot sweat. I think it was the hot sweating one. A lady posted that, and it just popped up on my screen, and it was I knew that we just posted it, and it popped up, and I was like, oh for fuck's sake! Like come on, stop it. Jennifer said his Instagram down, so maybe that's us. Maybe we've caused that. We've
Is
too
Instagram down? I don't know.
maybe. Well, yeah, they're yeah. It, again, that kind of goes into what we were saying earlier. Like, I remember if Instagram was down for like 10 minutes, I used to be fucking Googling, is Instagram down? And there's a website that tells you if Instagram's down. It's
That's
dedicated. It's dedicated to
all
Instagram.
it does.
It's, the website is dedicated to Instagram outages, so you can go on it and it'll tell you like where it is out, if it's up, if it's working. Like it's got like a scale, like a little graph that tells you like the strength of whether it's out. Honestly, it is insane, but it's the site we live in. But you've got to adapt to it as we have to with our businesses.
And that website exists because people literally cannot live without it, to the point where if it goes down, they want to go to a special website to find out if it's really down or if they've got a problem. I'm like,
Yeah.
fucking hell, man, just put your phone down.
Yeah.
If it comes back, it comes back. If it never does, then
I
me and Dad
remember.
will have to find a new job.
Yeah, we. Oh, fucking hell. What would we do?
If the Instagram just went down, never came back.
What
No,
would we.
I don't think we can go back to Facebook anymore. I think it's too broken to be salvaged.
Yeah. It is. Because, because we could, like, say, we can sit here and slag off social media or that side of things, but we rely on it to be able to make a living, to then certainly like your case, to then be able to be less connected. There's this weird kind of
Yeah,
paradox in.
does the art enable my lifestyle, or does my lifestyle enable the art? Because I don't think that. Well, not that I don't think, I know that if I didn't live the way that I live, I wouldn't be able to produce the things that I produce. So it's very chicken and egg from that perspective.
Yeah, it is a tough one, and I'm fascinated to see where everything goes. I'm just gonna hold on tight, and see what happens. Because you've got to, the other thing is, you've got to try and keep up all the time. There's always something new. There's always like TikTok came out, then
We're
Twitter.
old now, Dan. We can't dance with the TikTok
I
teens in
know.
front of the camera. I told myself I couldn't learn any new platforms. I haven't made a TikTok account. I'm a bit of a technophobe anyway. It was bad enough for me to try and set up a microphone and a camera just to sit and speak with you.
Yeah, but then Threads came about because they didn't like Twitter anymore.
I
So
never used Twitter. I've started a Threads account and it seems to be all right. Seems to be like a good wide mix of people that you connect with instead of just your same 10 people on Instagram. But
yeah.
long term, who knows? We can't rely on them social media things anyway because they're outside of our control. And especially some of the stuff that I say on there, I could end up getting banned any week, and then I'll have
Yeah.
to start using a newsletter.
Hey, newsletter is a good. See if anyone wants to sign up to Hans Word in one. We do a really good newsletter. We get a lot of nice compliments on it.
If
So.
anyone wants to sign up to the Eldorf newsletter on my website, I have never sent a single email and I probably never will, but you can put your name on there just in case I get
Yeah,
banned.
just.
But I definitely won't spam you because I do not use it.
Yeah, it's impossible to do everything, certainly on your own. Okay, so what do you think the most valuable thing you've learned from the journey of making of building the house?
Well, I really, if I'm completely honest, I bit off more than I could chew in a major way with the whole house build project. But what it has taught me is that where there's a will, there is a fucking way. And people don't give themselves enough credit for what you can do if you put your mind to it. And society will tell you that you can't build your house, you can't do electrics and plumbing and carpentry and all of this sort of thing. You can't just learn to render or tile. But you definitely can. Yeah, you definitely can. And a few hundred years ago, you didn't need a license from the town hall to build a house or get married or do half of the things that we now have to pay taxes and licenses for. And I'm a big advocate for empowering people to do the shit they want to do. Don't wait around for permission or for some expert or guru to come and show you how to do it right. Like, figure it out. And if it doesn't work, then it's on you. On my house, I've built every single thing in the house. So anything that goes wrong, A, it's my fault because I've done it. But B, I understand how it goes together and how I'll be able to fix it, what to use, where to get it from. Like there's nothing come. The whole house could fucking build fall down and I'd be able to rebuild it.
But if yeah,
And
but
I
when
think
you
that's what I've learned is that you can do anything you set your mind to if you
yeah.
want it hard enough.
Yeah, when you do have those issues, you know exactly, because you built it, you know exactly where things are, where the services are, where the wires run.
Like building the solar system, I did not have a clue about how any of that stuff went together or worked. And people were asking me, "Oh, how many kilowatt hours of batteries do you need?" Like, how would I possibly know that? I've never lived in that house before. I don't, and everything I've made is new. All the stuff I'm putting in it is new. I could tell you like them sort of details from my rental when I was living in the caves, but I have no idea what I'm going to be doing in my eco house. So I just sort of had to guess and adapt it and install it all myself. And despite the fact that I absolutely hate anything to do with numbers and solar systems are focused almost entirely on different numbers, yeah, you can get your head around it. You just have to study off the same as anything that's worth having in life. If you want it hard enough, you'll make yourself understand.
Yeah, it's true, because you make time for the things you want to do. You hear so many people say, "I don't have time. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that." It's like, but I bet you're making time to do other things that you want to do. So you always will find a way to do what you really want to do. You'll find the time. So the
I
solar,
miss MySpace as well, Alyssa.
the solar is that just some big batteries that does all the electricity, or just do the
In a
heating side?
nutshell, solar panels on the roof, inverter and big batteries, and a backup generator all connected to the house. And yeah, it's super easy when you've studied everything.
So what happened? Is the backup generator like a diesel one? Do you have to have that
I've got a
just
60-watt
in
diesel
case?
generator that it does have an auto start feature, but I mean, we haven't had to run it yet.
Good.
If I have had 3 days of like solid storm or cloud and there was no sun for 3 days, which is almost an impossibility in Alicante, then I'd have to run the generator for a couple of hours to top the batteries up. But failing that, everything I need is from the sun. Which is also kind of cool. Like when I'm sitting there and I'm doing my work and I'm thinking, in a bizarre way, I'm using minerals on my roof to capture the power of the sun and turn it into a piece of red hot steel that I'm then burning ancestral symbols onto bone pendants with. I'm like, man, that's fucking mind blowing to think that I've made that.
I know for a fact you were definitely smoking when you thought of that as well.
I'm
You were
always
definitely.
smoking. I was going to bring someone smoke on here. I was like, no, I better not. I don't know what the audience is like. That'd be good.
Oh, you would be fine. It would be fine. yeah, no, that's you know, it's so inspiring, because I just think the fact that you're living off everything is naturally, you've got the sun for your electricity. Obviously, if you ever have to, you've got a backup, which you just have to have. You have to have that
Oh, for
backup
sure, because
just in
if there's a
case.
bad storm for a week and the batteries start running down to nothing, like
Yeah.
lithium batteries, you'll have to shut them off at 20% or they'll start getting damaged. You can't run them down to zero.
Yeah.
So having the option that rather than going, oh no, it's cloudy, you can't have the TV on or whatever. Well, no, if it gets cloudy and the batteries run down, we just run the generator. That's what it's for. That's why we have backups.
So what about water? Because obviously you're not, I imagine there can't be a mains water
No,
supply
there
there.
isn't. We built a 50,000 liter water depositor. So a lorry can only hold 21,500 liters. So
That's how big it is.
we can get two of them and still have a little bit left. And I've only lived there a couple of weeks, so I really have no idea how long a tanker of water will last me up there. But I know that two tankers of water would last me a good long time. And we can capture the rainwater and filter it and put it into the tank as well.
I imagine you don't get that much rain
We
there.
get annually 450 millimeters of rain in that valley,
Wow.
which you sometimes in the north you'll get that in a day.
You've done your research. You know all the numbers.
But the house has been my life for like the last
Yeah.
8 years.
So how do you, because obviously if you're storing the water there, how does it work with keeping it like drinking, like
Well,
drinkable?
it's delivered as chlorinated drinking water
Okay.
into the tank. The tank's all completely sealed.
Right, that's what I was wondering. Been
Then we
awesome.
also filter it before it goes into the house. So every single tap in the house is supplied with filtered drinking water. With the exception of one outside, because just the way that I plumbed it all in, the garden tap, the water gets to that before the filters,
Oh,
because I'm
okay,
only using it for the garden. And
yeah.
I also don't think it's a terrible thing to tell the kids not to drink from the garden hose. Like, that is the one tap in the house. Don't
Yeah.
drink from the hose.
Please don't actually drink from that. So how do you keep it cool? Is it underground?
Yeah, it's subterranean, so it stays constant temperature. Pretty much
Yeah.
year round. It's cold in the winter and it's still cold in the summer.
That's the plumber in me coming out. Because obviously, you get things like Legionnaires from above ground in water tanks, and so it's like it's a pretty
You
nasty
do have
thing.
to test them and make sure that your chlorine levels are all right. And obviously, I have to keep an eye on the water level anyway. I haven't put like a watchman alert. I just open the lid and go, oh, there's water. So if I ever open it up and it's green, I'll go, fucking hell,
Yeah,
we'll throw
don't.
some more chlorine in it.
Do you have anyone that has to come and check to like make sure you're doing things right? Like, 'cause I feel like, in this day and age, certainly I feel like if this was in the UK, there would be like a health and safety guy who would have to come out every 6 months and check stuff's okay. Now, I don't know if that's a real thing, but I just feel like that's what.
Well, if I feel like if I'd done it in the UK, I would have an inspector breathing down my neck
Yeah.
every minute of every day.
Oh, for
But there's
sure.
like this weird loophole in Spain where if you're an auto constructor, like a self builder, if you are the head of the family, you can use this loophole to basically say, look, I have the right as the head of the family to build whatever the fuck I want, as long as I can prove to you that it will, from an engineering point of view, stand up and not be unsafe for people. And I take all responsibility myself. If I hurt myself, if I die, if I'm injured in any way, I take all responsibility off the town hall. You sign this head of the family waiver and send it in, and
Wow.
no more inspector. And so,
That
yeah,
feels so archaic.
it's like
But
another world, isn't it? I mean, Spain is, a little bit behind England when it comes to red tape and that sort of thing. They do have a lot of, particularly where health and safety is concerned, they do look the other way a lot. But then from my point of view, it's like, I'm building this house for my family. I want it to be above code. Like, I don't want to cut any corners, but I also don't want some little guy in a suit telling me every single day that I'm doing something wrong that he has never done in his life.
And being in the building trade, you see it all the time, like silly little things that are like one in a million chance, and you have to do it a certain way just in case that one in a million thing might happen. And the amount of times things have to be redone, ripped apart, it's an absolute nightmare. So what about like the sewage and the waste? Because that has to be something you really have to take care of, I guess, and get.
Well, that's one of the few areas where the town hall does have a say in what you can and
Right,
can't do.
okay.
And any new build now that isn't connected to the sewer network has to have a total oxidation biodigester. So we had to have that anyway. I would have got one, even if I didn't have to have one, because
All this stuff sounds so expensive.
of course you want a tank that eats all the sewage and just spits out a clean, non-toxic fertilizer at the back of it. Of course you want that. But yeah, it was a headache to source it and figure out how it worked and connect it all up. But it's just one of many headaches in this project.
It's so it, but it's an absolute inspiration to me and other people. The fact that you have just learned this, and you can learn a lot of things on YouTube. There's tons of videos you can watch and just figure stuff out. And the best way to learn is just to do it. You just kind of gotta. But I imagine you're dealing with some pretty expensive stuff. I feel like all these bits aren't cheap, so you really got to
I
make
mean,
sure you've got
when we put
hookup.
the solar panels on the roof, I didn't post anything about it on socials because I was convinced that someone might just turn up in the night and steal it all, because it's a lot of expensive kit that you're leaving
Yeah.
there. Especially the batteries are ridiculous. They're €1,400 each. And
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
man, somebody could just throw them in the back of a car and drive off. It's a lot of money to lose. When you start to add up the whole system, you've got so much kit lying around on site, without thinking about the tools and the materials that you're waiting to use and that sort of thing. So yeah,
Yeah.
there was a lot of things that I didn't post, or a lot of the time the stuff I was posting would be like weeks behind the stuff we were actually doing, because I was just
Yeah.
paranoid that something was going to go wrong, or that, because one of the neighbors, when they were building their house, he got broken into like multiple times. One of
Oh,
them, they
really?
turned up with a lorry with a crane and fucking picked all of the slabs and tiles that he's just had delivered, picked them all back up onto a lorry and drove off. And you're like, man, how
But
can they get away with that?
that's the thing though, you are in the middle of nowhere though. So if there's
Yeah.
nobody else around, and even if there is, what are they realistically going to do before the police get there? Who, I can't imagine how long it takes the police to get to you. So unless somebody's physically going to get involved, there's not much you can do if somebody turns up and does that.
No.
So you said it spits out fertilizer. Are you going to, does that just get recycled back into
Yeah, that
the
will get
orchards
pumped out
or?
onto the trees. Yeah.
So is that the next plan is to just, oh, have you started planting like a lot
Well,
of
the place is
veg
called
and
Weirdwood, like the old English weird fate, the wood of destiny. So I just want to grow trees left, right, and center.
Nice,
That
yeah.
is my next point. Now that I live there, I've still got to finish some things off, like some little things to do inside. And I haven't done the rendering on the outside yet, so that's going to be another big task to get the outside looking finished.
Yeah, that's gonna make a
And
big
then,
difference visually. It's gonna look really
yeah,
good.
because although like we've made massive improvements inside, the outside still looks the same as when you visited. Like, it
Oh,
hasn't
really?
changed in
Okay.
years. We did the first coat of lime, and because the next two coats don't have to be done until I lived there, we just left it.
Yeah.
So yeah, the outside is looking a little bit ugly at the moment, but it's on my to-do list,
Yeah,
along
it's.
with outside kitchen and carport and obviously the garden is going to take up massive chunks of my time, because I've always been more interested in the garden than the house. I just needed the house so that I could live there to tend the garden.
Yeah. So, oh, you can get a ride on lawnmower. Of like, or a tractor. You can get a tractor.
Do you know, I like the idea of a tractor, but I don't want to compact the soil with one. And because I intend to do everything like organically and by hand, more like a market garden, I'm hoping to not need machinery.
Wow. Okay. So, an oxen and a plow.
Might get a little donkey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's endless. The opportunities are endless. Do you think you'll get some animals on there?
Well, we've got our chickens there already.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get goats and maybe a pig as well. But I've got to build their
Nice.
houses first. And I've learned that building houses don't go exactly to plan.
No, well, theirs
Well, at least
must
it
be.
doesn't on the timeline anyway. Everything's gone perfectly to plan, just taken much longer than I anticipated.
Yeah, theirs must be a little bit easier to make. Will there be food, do you think? Well, I assume would you keep the animals for food?
Well, my ideas differ from the children's in that department because I would happily supply the house with its meat, but despite the fact that my children will eat chicken, they won't if they knew its name. So I think it's pretty much out the window for me on that front.
Oh, yeah, that is a
A
tough one.
guarantee, if I get a pig and Carly and the kids are both treating it as a pet, that pig will be a pet for its whole life. So it'll never ever see the dinner table. There's no chance. And I don't mind that either. I just like the animals. So I don't have to have, like, you don't expect to eat your dog, do you? And how
No.
much does it cost you in food and vet bills and all of that? Like, having an animal just for the sake of enjoying the animal is enough.
Yeah, it's seen it potter around.
But obviously, in the case of the chickens, if it shits out breakfast, it's even better.
Yeah, oh, eggs are, I was talking to my friends about this earlier. Eggs are a wonder food.
Aren't they?
They're just great. They last for such a long time. I was reading apparently like in the fridge you can keep an egg for 5 weeks, which is a good amount of time for like an organic material, you know. So
Yeah, they last longer if you don't wash them because when the chicken lays them, it's got the bloom on the egg, which is like a biofilm on the egg that
right,
keeps
okay.
the bacteria out. And when you wash it off, the egg doesn't last as long. As is often the case, when we start removing the stuff that nature puts there for a purpose, when we remove it, it doesn't do such a good job. But I mean, eggs would never last 5 weeks in my house.
No, they
They get
wouldn't.
laid and they get cooked and they get eaten.
They wouldn't in my house either. You know, there's so much that we've lost over time. You know, so much knowledge that people just you had to know was passed down from generation to generation, and then we've just lost it, haven't we? We've just got so busy with other things, and we consider ourselves smarter than ever before. And you know, we have access to anything in the palm of his hands, knowledge-wise, to look it up. But most people can't. There's a lot of people who can't cook and, you know, can't cook an egg or can't put a shelf
Even
up.
more basic things than that, like people can't light a fire, not even with a lighter and paper and wood. Like, you can give it all to them and say, make a fire, and they just do it horrifically wrong. And like that would have been a life or death skill not that many generations back. And now, like you say, we take away the ability to go on YouTube and see a tutorial of it, and most people fail on even the simplest of things.
Yeah, it is. It's an unusual world we're in.
And I think that's one way that you can live more in line with the way your ancestors would be, is to take more self-sufficiency, more self-reliance, be responsible for the shit you need in your life, because there isn't always going to be someone that can come and save you or give you the answers, and you really should be prioritizing the things that you need to survive. You should pay some attention to the skills that enable you to do that if ever you're not in the position that you can just Google it or get it from the supermarket.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Let's wrap this up and we'll do a little Q&A, and then we'll talk about your craft, and you're gonna demonstrate and do some little bits of work for us.
Yeah, we'll burn some bone. I've got some knot work sketched out. I think we'll talk
Yeah.
about the human skull and anything else you want to chat about.
Yeah, we've made it through the episode and not got cancelled. You've not said anything controversial. It was a fun chat. I think people in the chat here enjoyed it. And
I'm glad.
we put the world to right. We slagged off social media even though we rely on it.
Even though
But
we're on it right now,
yeah, we're
yeah.
using it to record this. You know, we're giant hypocrites, but fuck it.
Ah, man, you got to put the world to rights. The good thing is, with this only being like an hour long, we can't really scratch the tip of the iceberg for all of the stuff that I would get us in trouble for. So we've been
Yeah,
pretty
okay.
safe.
It's wonderful. Yeah, so let's wrap up the main show. If you do want to listen to the Q&A, if you do want to check out the creator episode where Tricky's gonna do some work, and obviously people are gonna be able to join in and ask him questions about what he does, how he does it. You can find those over on our Patreon. It's just Patreon/ Nordic Mythology Podcast. It's on that middle tier on there, and like I say, there's a ton of bonus episodes on there, and you get the whole back catalog of all the different episodes. So you're not just getting going forward from when you join; you get the whole back catalog, so there's tons of extra content you can listen to. So yeah, Tricky, do you want to give a shout out to where people can find you, pick up a pendant?
Best place to get me is on Instagram. That is where I'm most active. It's Eldolf, ELDULFR. And yeah, if you wanna go over there and follow me and check out what I do, then you're always welcome.
Yeah, check out the house. They'll be able to see tons of pictures of the house and follow the journey, because obviously it's far from over.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I've got so much to do. When people are like, "Oh, you finished?" Like, "Oh, I've finished it enough to move in, but no means finished."
Yeah, and that's the problem, is not getting too comfortable, because once you move in, it's easy to just switch off and go, "Oh, well, I'm living here now," and just
Just get
stop.
complacent with it,
Yeah,
yeah.
because you get used to it. You just get used to the chaos around you. Obviously, I'm like just doing my house up at the minute, and
Yeah, I saw the utility room. You got your work cut out for you.
it's strange how fast you just get used to like mess, or not necessarily mess, but like chaos, or things not being how it was before. You quickly adapt, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna live with this half finished room for the next 6 months, because I just can't be bothered to finish it. Yeah, so if you want to follow me, it's Daniel underscore Farron one, the business at Horns Boding, or anything to do with the podcast, it's just at Nordic Mythology Podcast on all the different channels. And don't forget the YouTube, where you can see both of our pretty faces. Tricky doing his little blue steel, you can check that out. So yeah, a lot of people forget we have the YouTube channel. It is growing, and we're getting more and more views. People are finding and discovering it, so it adds that extra aspect to it. A lot of guests bring little items they like to show, or sometimes bring a slideshow like Terry Gunnell did. So yeah, it's just that other aspect and dimension to it. But yeah, let's wrap this up. Let people ask you some questions.